Okay. All right.
Oh, we'll just bang it around.
Bang it around. Okay, you want the bad news or the good news first? Because there's both. Bad news. The bad news is y'all are going to have to start making reservations for worship again. Oh, but the good news is we're going to stay open. Yay! So, reservations are the price we're going to have to pay. Because as many of you know, the governor's not happy with the people of Wyoming. Because the virus is crazy here, he has decided that indoor gatherings need to number 25 or less. Now, we know that churches are exempt, but because we have been acting like any other organization, because a gathering of people is a gathering of people if you're in a sanctuary or in a civic building, we have been behaving as if we're not a church because it seems to be the safest thing to do. So, here's what we're going to do. How many people do we have here today? 30. We are running between 30 and 40 in this service. And we have plenty of room in the first service if any of you would like to feel called to help us with coming to the first service. That would be very nice. We would appreciate that. And please try to do that. And we may have to spread out a little more. So we'd like to keep the numbers at close to the 25s in each service. I think we can do this. We'll be a little near the line, but please help us with this. And don't forget your mask, hand sanitizer, and please spread out. Like Floyd, you need to move over a little bit. Just little, yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. So there's that. And the other announcement is, over Thanksgiving, don't forget that the CDC has said there should be no shouting at your celebrations. So that means my family cannot have their annual fight over putting on the Christmas tree lights. They are depriving our family. It's going to happen anyway, I'm going to tell you, but anyway. So that's that. Don't forget to call the church office and make a reservation for worship for the next, we'll let you know when you don't have to, please, so that we can keep coming to church. I have a bulletin here somewhere with announcements in it. Oh, after worship, the worship committee would like some help with putting up some decorations, correct, Belle? So they can use help there. Thanksgiving in a bag is still in the back. If you have not picked yours up, please do. Or if there are bags in the back of people that you live near or would like to deliver to, please pick them up. Today is consecration day of our annual 2021 budget. We'll get to that in a little while. Congregational meeting is December 13th. We will not have one in the middle of services this year. We will have one at the end of each service. And if you have new information, like address, phone, email, you need to get that to Kathy, please. Are there any other announcements? Well, Nick, where are you? Okay. Alrighty. Our prelude this morning is provided by Mr. Nicholas Grooms. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Worship God with gladness.
Come into God's presence with singing.
We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture.
Give thanks to the Lord. Bless God's holy name. Our opening hymn this morning is one verse of We Gather Together.
Will you please pray with me? Tender, comforting shepherd, your steadfast love is present in this place and resides within each of us. But sometimes it's hard, so very hard, to open ourselves to your love. We feel like scattered sheep, frightened and alone. Lord, help us to know your loving presence as we live as your gathered community. Enlighten our hearts that we may know the hope to which we have been called. Lord, hear us this morning as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. And we'll now enjoy special music by Kathy Winders.
Thank you, Kathy. As we come now to our time of prayer, I would call your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. Our bookkeeper, Lisa, is in Virginia this week. Her mother is in the hospital. They've discovered some nodes on her lungs, and they're not quite sure what's going on yet. And so Lisa and her son, Ty, drove quickly across the country and are with her mom this week. So Patricia Shoemate is on our list. That is Lisa's mom. Cal was here this morning. Cal was also here this week with no cane, no walker, nothing to support him, and he has not fallen in quite a while. Although he has his own private back police here, and he was hauling a dolly full of books, and the back police got a little upset with that. But he said he did okay. Also, he mentioned that his mother, Mary Decker, is having a lot of back pain, so she has an appointment, I believe, this week to see if they can put a stimulator in her back to help alleviate some of that. I spoke to Ed Struby this last week, and he wants you all to remember that he loves everyone. Monica is in quite a bit of pain, Cal also said. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Debbie.
Yesterday we made 12 blankets, and I was taking off my card. I took 18 yesterday to the Youth Crisis Center for the kids for Christmas. And when I was sitting in my car, a little girl came from the playground, and she's one of my kids from Lincoln.
Ah. Good. You made 12 yesterday, is that what you? Okay, you made 12 and took 18 to the Youth Crisis Center and gave a couple out at the three out at the playground. Good. Okay, thank you. Any others? Randy Sue. I didn't hear anything. Did anybody else? We'll check on that after church. Okay. Coolin.
Our neighbor, Trisha, a young lady, is pregnant with her third child. And unfortunately, the pregnancy has turned into somewhat of a high-risk situation. So,
okay. Wanda, how you doing? We're glad to see you. Well, look, Dominic, we're waiting just for you. Come on in. Yeah. Okay, let's join together in prayer. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, gathered together all in one place, we come this day and ask that you would move us to gratitude. Not because of what we have, but because of whose we are. Not because of present blessing, but because of your continuing providence. Not because of the moment, but because of the eternity of salvation. We ask this day for thankful hearts that our lives and our prayers may overflow with gratitude. May our gratitude be expressed not only in feasting, but in sharing. Not only in passive enjoyment, but in active service. Not only in annual observance, but in daily attitude. And because your concern for wholeness in living and embracing every person upon the earth, we pray for ourselves and we pray for others. For the beauty and wonder of creation, we thank you, O God. For our daily food, for our homes, our families, and our friends, we thank you, O God. For minds to think and hearts to love, we thank you, O God. For health and strength and skill to work, for time to rest and play, we thank you, O God. For those who are brave and courageous, patient in suffering and faithful in adversity, we thank you, O God. For all who pursue peace, justice, and truth, we thank you, O God. For all that is gracious in the lives of men and women, young people and children that reveal the image of Christ, we thank you, O God. Today we remember all those who have chosen not to travel, all who will spend Thanksgiving apart from family and friends, even as we remember those who will travel, praying for their safety. Today we remember all who have died from COVID-19. We remember their loved ones as they gather with broken hearts and an emptiness at their tables. We remember all who are sick, those who are ill in body, in mind, or in spirit. We remember and we give thanks for all who care for those who are ill, nurses and physicians, aides and assistants, physical therapists, pharmacists, social workers, housekeepers, radiologists, and many, many others who risk their own health to care for others. For all who reflect your light and your love, for all who show us how to live each day, each moment with grateful hearts, O God, we give you thanks. Amen.
My wife Maggie and I read to our daughters before bed each evening, and lately we've been trying to mix in some seasonal themes, give us a break from Mercy Watson, The Amazing Pig, or The Princess in Black. One of the books that the girls have been enjoying during this Thanksgiving season has been the Berenstain Bears Harvest Festival. At the end of the book, Mrs. Ben, the farmer's wife, puts on a big feast and tells everyone to dig in. Our oldest daughter, Mackenzie, picked up on this new phrase, and now when we all sit down for dinner, she likes to throw that in right after the amen of our grace prayer. The first time, it got a real good laugh from her mom, and so it's only encouraged it further. When we think of communion, we often think of words like meal, supper, a table spread, a feast. And with Thanksgiving coming up, it makes me think of a large family dinner and a family reunion of sorts. This year, of course, will be different because of the pandemic, and a lot of us will be experiencing tele-Thanksgiving, video chats, and much smaller table sittings. But the spirit will be the same. And we will probably remember much more fondly than they probably deserve the feasts of the past. But can you picture and remember extra leaves in the table, tablecloths, the nice dishes, more people than usual in the house, and twice as much food? People sit around and talk about the time that the little kids did this, how good Auntie's pie is this year, how that cousin's salad is always perfect. The conversations and the remember whens go on and on. In remembering those pictures, could you ever imagine turning someone away? Maybe communion is really a family reunion of our church family. It's a time to remember Jesus' life and to think of the breadcrumbs he left for us to follow. He's ensured that this table is a place where all are welcome and there's more than enough for everyone. So let's dig in. Our communion hymn this morning is verse 1 of Come Share the Lord.
On the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And after supper, he took a cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant, which is for you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know we should always be grateful, but especially at Thanksgiving, we are reminded of your bounty. For the bread that nourishes our inner need, we give thanks as we eat here at the Lord's table. May the harvest of our lives be evident as we seek your indwelling spirit, which helps us live our days in usefulness. Spirit of the living God, enter into our lives with renewed meaning at this season of Thanksgiving. May we always give thanks for the yield of the soil, which provides our daily food. May this cup remind us again of Jesus and his presence, even as we ask for a continued walk with you in our journey of life. Use us to extend your kingdom. Amen. As this is Thanksgiving Sunday, today we do have a special offering. The Thanksgiving offering is collected today. And as a reminder, this special offering benefits the colleges, universities, seminaries, and divinity houses affiliated with the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Your gift to this special offering helps support the education of thousands of students at 15 colleges and universities, as well as the 7 seminaries and divinity houses. It also provides scholarships and supports for our theological education institution. As we come to our time of offering, let us reflect that we ourselves are both shepherd and sheep, wounded and healer. In the same spirit, we're both giver and receiver. We have entered this church today with thanksgiving on our hearts. Let us remember that we have the opportunity to joyfully share from the bounty which God has provided. In the love and name of Christ, let us now receive our morning offering. Will you please pray with me? Good Shepherd, who leads and guides us through all the trials and tribulations of our lives, we bring these gifts to celebrate the ministries of hope in which our church is involved. Holy One, you have given us all that we have and all that we are. Through these gifts and in our lives, help us to be the shepherds, healers, and lovers that you are calling us to be. Amen.
First lesson this morning is from Deuteronomy 26. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And God brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. And the second lesson is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Are any of you familiar with George Herbert? Not a contemporary of ours, 17th century. This is called gratefulness. Thou hast given me so much. Give one thing more, a grateful heart. See how thy beggar works on thee by art. He makes thy gifts occasion more and says, if he in this be crossed, all thou hast given him heretofore is lost. But thou didst reckon when at first thy word our hearts and hands did crave, what it would come to at the worst to save. Perpetual knockings at thy door, tears sullying thy transparent rooms, gift upon gift, much would have more and comes. This, notwithstanding, thou wentst on and didst allow us all our noise. Nay, thou hast made a sigh and groan thy joys. Not that thou hast not still above much better tunes than groans can make, but that these country airs thy love did take. Wherefore I cry and cry again, and in no quiet canst be thou, till I a thankful heart obtain of thee. Not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. George Herbert wrote gratefulness sometime between 1625 and 1633, a little while ago. And if you Google him, you will find the first description of him to be he was a Welsh-born English poet. And although that is accurate, I believe he himself would not be pleased with that description because he was first and foremost an Anglican priest, or as he called himself, a country parson. He did indeed write poetry, and this poem, Gratefulness, is from a collection of poems that he called The Church. In this collection of poems, he speaks of the rhythm of pain and joy that define a spiritual life, the twists and turns of a life lived in faith. A grateful heart, that is, not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise, is essential for every person of faith. A heart whose every beat echoes God's thanks and praise is a grateful heart. And that is the center out of which our life of faith is lived, a grateful heart in every moment, with each breath and every heartbeat, is a reflection of a life of faith firmly grounded in gratitude, firmly grounded in the ways of God. I like to think he was thinking of Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26 is a part of Moses' last long speech before he died. These are his last instructions to the people of Israel before they enter the promised land. You remember, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. He could only see it. Now they are at the end of their years and decades of murmurings and wanderings. This is the last stop in the wilderness. And they are on the brink of realizing the promise of God, the land of Canaan, the good and broad land, the land flowing with milk and honey, is right before them. They can see it, they can smell it, they can almost touch it. Like Indiana Jones, Last Crusade, remember? He's trying to get out of the cave, they're trying to get the grail, and he's fallen over the crack in the room, and the cup is right there. He can almost touch it. This good land is the gift of a good and new life for God's people, but before they receive this gift, Moses teaches them one more thing. When you come into the land, at the first harvest, gather the community and bring some of the first fruits. Put them in a basket. Hand the basket to the priest in the sanctuary. The priest will place the basket in front of the altar, and together in prayer, you all will recite as a confession of faith the saving acts of God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. God saw, God heard, God delivered us from slavery in Egypt. That is still recited each year at Passover. God saw, God heard, God delivered us from slavery in Egypt. And then a feast will be shared with the people, the priests, and with the strangers among you. When you come into the land, when Israel receives the gift, when Israel realizes the promise of God, they are to gather in worship to give thanks, for God is faithful, to remember God's saving acts of deliverance, and to celebrate and to share God's good gifts with others. Still today, this is the way of God's people. Although today we're not having a supper. We give thanks for God's faith in us, making us stewards of creation, for trusting us to be partners in the work of caring for others, and our hearts are grateful with every beat. We remember what God has done. We remember God continues to be with us, to guide us, to give us life, and so we share God's gifts because we are abundantly blessed. We share that abundance with others. To put it another way for us, because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we do for others. Because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we do for others. It all comes down to that, and that is why our heart is grateful, even when we're not in the mood. Or as George Herbert might say, a heart that pulses gratitude does not depend on our wants, our wishes, our feelings, our mood. A heart that pulses gratitude recognizes its complete dependence on God and God alone. Because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we do for others. Because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we give. So we are able to do for others. So the question for you is, where did you learn that? When did you learn that? We've all learned that sometime, someplace. Here's when I learned that. I was the associate minister at South Bay Christian Church in Redondo Beach, California. The beach was two blocks away from our church building. It was great. It was a little congregation with a very active children's group. We had five kids, five, and a very active CWF. We didn't have a youth group. We didn't have a CMF. We didn't have much more than that, but we had five kids and a CWF. It was great. I was pregnant with my oldest daughter when they hired me. After she was born, I had a playpen, remember those? Back in the day, I had a playpen in my office and a front pack, and it all worked out pretty well. And it turned out Tova was a fairly useful calling tool. I'd go visit people and everybody wants to see the baby. That worked out pretty good. But at about 24 weeks of pregnancy, I had this little blip called preterm labor. Turned out to be a bigger blip than I thought. Spent a week in the hospital. I missed the CWF Easter play in which I had a part. Oh, that I could give him something to drink. That was my part. It was one of the women at the cross. Oh, that I could give him something to drink. Well, they finally sent me home on complete bed rest for 3 months. That's all, 3 months. I could get up to go to the bathroom, I could take a shower three times a week, and I could go to the doctor. Now, we lived in a townhouse, and the bedrooms were upstairs. Stairs were illegal for me, except to come down to go to the doctor. So I spent my time watching TV, and crying, and watching videos, and crying, and waiting every day for the Goodyear blimp to come by my window, and then it would turn around and go back out to the beach every day, 2 o'clock. And then I'd cry some more. It was a scary proposition all around. Back then, babies were not considered viable until 28 weeks. I couldn't work. I couldn't take care of myself, my home, or my family, and I was what we would now call a very hot mess. And then the CWF came along. South Bay Christian Church CWF came, and they cleaned our home, they did our laundry, they made our meals, they took me to the doctor, they kept me company, they bought our baby clothes and diapers. Even the women who were still wary of me, I am an acquired taste, I admit this. Even the women who were still wary of me, and the women who struggled with their own fertility, came and helped take care of us. I was completely overwhelmed by their care and their willingness to step in. And one day, Nancy Zaccaro, she used to make this really good shrimp thing with cream sauce and noodles. Oof. She brought dinner one night, and we were chatting before John got home from work, and I was so overcome by everything the CWF was doing for us, and I knew I could never repay them. And Nancy looked at me as I was crying. And she looked at me and said, "Oh, honey, it's what we do. We're the church. It's what we do. We're the church. It's what we do. We are the church." More than any college, seminary, graduate school class, that CWF taught me what it means to be church. And they changed something fundamentally deep within me. They cared for me when I could not care for myself. They cared for me and they taught me who I was as a child of God and who we are as church. They argued like the Dickens over the kitchen and tablecloths all the time. But they were of one mind, always, as stewards and partners of God. Tova, it turns out, was born on a Sunday, 6 days late, healthy as all get out. And she was in church 1 week later as we all gave thanks for the grace of God visited upon us in the form of the women of South Bay Christian Church. She would not be a snarky middle school math teacher without the church. The church saved her life. In big ways and in very small ways, the church saves lives. The church changes lives. In the mood or not, because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, we give so that we are able to be the church, stewards and partners with God in caring for the creation, caring for others. That's why we support our yearly stewardship campaign. That's why we offer our lives, our presence, our gifts, our talents, and our money. If you haven't made a pledge for the 2021 budget, I encourage you to do so. As I also encourage you all to remember who you are as church, and remember how the church has cared for you, how the church has changed you. We all have a story. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. It is the work of God that we are about here, as we follow the one who saves us all, even Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Because this is Consecration Day, I would like to invite Larry to come on up and Judy. This is, okay, that's a little tricky, so just turn around and face everybody. Thank you. Larry here is holding, since we don't have pledge cards to toss in the plate, Larry is holding some symbols of stewardship for us. First of all, there is a little heart on here to represent our gratitude, a heart that pulses with gratitude. There is a branch on there that reminds us that we are all stewards of God's creation. There's a watch to remind us that is our gifts of time and talent and money that we offer. There is a pledge card to remind us that we must support our yearly budget to enable us to do God's work here in this place. And the cup and the plate, of course, remind us of why we gather in the first place. And so, will you please stand as we consecrate and dedicate our gifts for the next year? Wanda, you just sit there. Thank you. And you'll need your, litanies. In the presence of our God who has loved us into life, we acknowledge
God has made us stewards, partners in the care of creation, lending to the rich resources that were given in creation and are given anew each day.
On this day, we give our tithes, our offerings, and our pledges for the church's mission and ministries throughout the year to come.
We give, knowing that all that we have to come from God will continue to provide. We make our pledges, knowing that there is much still to be done as witnesses to God's goodness and followers of Jesus.
May our tithes and offerings and pledges be given from our hearts, and may they be signs of our trust in God and our faithfulness to the gospel of Jesus.
Join me in the litany of dedication.
We dedicate these gifts to you, O God.
We offer to you, O God, these gifts in humble thanks for the creation of love and giving.
We dedicate these pledges to you, O God.
We offer to you, O God, these pledges in unassuming thanks for the redeeming love we give to us.
We dedicate our lives and these commitments to you, O God.
We offer to you, O God, these commitments in grateful thanks for the sustaining love you give to us.
We pray that we will be good stewards of all that you have given us.
We offer to you, O God, the love and deepest gratitude.
Let us be surprised this year.
May our minds and our hearts be open this year. May we be surprised in our lives, in our church, and in our ministry together.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thanks. Before we go, we are going to stand and sing one verse of Now Thank We All Our God. Will you please stand again? Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Thank you.
have a good week. Please be safe and careful, because the virus is nasty wherever you are. So, and now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. And I forgot something really big. Did I announce about the reservations?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. Amen.
Amen.